and welcome back to the worldwide renowned series Soul Speak. I'm your host and founder of the series, Sheldon Pisnat, and I'm really excited in this session to have on somebody I've wanted to for quite a while, and now we've got him. His name's Richard Gordon, and he's the founder of Quantum Touch Organization. Richard is a visionary and a pioneer with over 40 years of experience in the field of energy medicine. He is the best-selling author of Quantum Touch, The Power to Heal, Quantum Touch 2.0, The Secret Nature of Matter, and Your Healing Hands. Now, Richard founded the Quantum Touch organization more than 16 years ago. The organization currently has more than 1,000 certified practitioners in over 50 countries globally. Their vision and mission is to help improve the health and quality of life for many people using simple, easy-to-learn energy healing techniques. Richard travels around the globe speaking with medical centers, conferences, and chiropractic colleges on hands-on healing and quantum touch. And today, he's here with us. Welcome, Richard.
Hey, great to be here. Thank you, Sheldon.
Great to have you. First thing is, I'd like to know, how did your life path take you in the direction of becoming interested in energy medicine?
It really wasn't on my mind, to be honest with you. I went to a doctor one day. I was probably about 24, 25, and I had a lot of symptoms, intestinal problems, skin problems, a lot of lung problems. And the doctor said, well, yeah, you got a lot wrong, but nothing's bad enough really to treat yet, so let's wait till you get worse. Well, I thought that was pretty insulting. And obviously he didn't know anything about prevention or healing. He just knew about, you know, disease management. So I went to a holistic health school, and I came across something called polarity therapy. I was astounded by how well it worked. And just when my first book came out, I discovered the roots of what we'll call quantum touch. And that just blew me out of the water. I could not believe that anything could be so effective and so fast.
Well, that leads me, you know, into a natural segue. Well, tell me about the roots of quantum touch.
Okay, well, I went to a seminar. It was just about three months before my first book was coming out. I thought I was at the peak of my knowledge, and there's this large, oversized, elderly gentleman there who was talking in quiet tones, and he was making these terribly large claims, like, well, there was the time that the large tumor dissolved in an hour, you know, the size of a grapefruit, and it just melted away. And then there was the time the bone spontaneously came back into the flesh and healed itself. And, oh, I just touched people and the bones moved back into alignment. And I'm thinking, this guy's so full of it. And then he demonstrated on my girlfriend, who was standing in front of the room about 6 feet away from me, and I'm looking at her major scoliosis in her back, and he just touches her hips, and the hips roll into alignment. And he touches the cranial bones, and the cranial bones move visibly, and he goes up and down her spine. I was astounded because about half of her scoliosis was straightened out in about 8 or 10 minutes. And I learned that I could do it. I apprenticed with him. I took over in his retirement. And I radically evolved his work, simplified it, made it much more powerful, and then have continued to make discoveries ever since then. And these discoveries allow ordinary people to do extraordinary healing work without a lot of preparation or investment of time, energy, or money.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the metrics of quantum touch? What's involved? And
yeah.
Can you take us there a little bit? Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. We have no attunements, no symbols, no magic woo whatsoever. What we do is we teach people how to feel their body without touching it and move body awareness in waves. So, in other words, if you hold up your finger, you said you like experiential stuff, so go ahead, hold up your finger. And if you're not driving a vehicle and you can concentrate, go ahead and do this too. Hold up a finger and put all your awareness into that finger. See if you can feel the blood pulsing through that finger. See if you can feel the fingernail as it attaches to the finger. See if you can feel the bones inside your finger, or maybe the tendons that move your finger. Now, breathe into your fingers if you're pumping it up with air. So as you exhale, feel the finger more and more profoundly. Really dive into it. Now, is your finger tingling, vibrating, buzzing, pulsing right now?
Yeah, it is. More than it was, that's
yeah.
for sure.
Well, that's what, yeah. So that's, you know, your attention probably stimulates nerves and it feels very physical that way, but you were able to shift your consciousness to be able to feel a lot of vibration and tingling in the finger. Well, the life force energy is what we're using. It's been most commonly referred to as chi or ki or prana. And there's dozens and dozens of words to describe this energy. It's the animating current of life. When you bring your awareness to something like your finger, you're also bringing the chi. You're bringing that ki, that energy that is useful for healing. So we train people how to do a series of different kinds of breathing techniques and how to move awareness through their body in waves. And then linking the breathing and the body awareness together allows you to raise your vibration very high. Now, the definition of a healer is someone who was sick and got well. And a great healer is someone very sick who got well quickly. Because all healing is essentially self-healing. The cells heal themselves. I don't know how to heal any of my cells. The spiritual body intelligence does the healing. And what we do as practitioners is we hold a high vibration, and then through a process called resonance and entrainment, the client matches the vibration of the practitioner's hands or energy fields. And then their body does its own self-healing. So we like to say all healing is self-healing, ultimately. Now, how can you be doing healing sessions when it's all self-healing? We're not actually healing them. What we're doing is we're holding a field of energy. They're responding to that energy. And then they're doing it themselves. You could think of it a little bit like you're just holding the electricity, but the toaster is making the toast. You can't say the electricity made the toast. The toaster made the toast. But you're providing that extra boost of energy to allow their self-healing mechanism to operate.
So if I'm hearing you accurately, we as practitioners are holding a certain consciousness, a certain vibration, a field of energy, and they, our clients, are the people we're working with, are then moving and shifting into resonance with what we're holding, and in that process, self-healing is occurring. Is that accurate?
Yes, very much so. You can think of it in terms of the laws of resonance and entrainment, and that is, when two things are vibrating at different frequencies, one of three things will occur. Either the lower one will come up to match the high one may come down to match the low one, or they might meet in the middle. For untrained practitioners or people who didn't really get a good background in energy healing, it's quite common for people to say that they feel drained. And you can see that in a lot of movies where you sacrifice yourself to help somebody else. Unnecessary. Not necessary at all. Because if you do the breathing and body awareness exercises, you simply do not become drained because you're not letting your energy come down to match theirs. They are always having their energy come up to match yours. And by the way, a physician, Jerry Pittman, wrote that in its elegance, quantum touch first provides healing for the practitioner, which is true, because a lot of people have experienced healing just from doing this work.
Boy, and that is really also a wonderful microcosm, quantum touch, and for just limitation of any kind, isn't it? For any type of studies of consciousness, as you know, let's say in the more the coaching field or a talk-based modality of holding the resonance for people, whatever their limitations may be. Maybe it's around money and affluence or some kind of receiving. Just holding in that place of limitlessness in that quantum field and allowing our clients to come up to meet us up there rather than going into some kind of sympathy or, you know, buying into their story.
Oh, that's such a good point, because it is applicable to so many things, because so often people want to come down and match the victim with their pain as opposed to helping the victim let go of the victimhood and move into their gratitude, joy, love, happiness, success.
Yeah, I think sometimes we can get confused, or at least I'll speak for myself. I used to get confused with sympathy and empathy and come down, you know, as, and sometimes we can learn that in our formative years and our family of origin. There can be any way, any sort of ways to learn that in our culture. I love the methodology so far. It's beautiful.
Well, it's really simple and straightforward. You know, I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago, and she was saying, well, I'm glad that you're doing it, but I don't have any interest in learning energy healing. And I said, well, that's really interesting. And most people do not want to become energy healing practitioners. By far, that's true. However, for 3 to 5 days a year, it's probably the most useful skill that you'll know. So maybe you're not going to use it very often, but it's like knowing how to ride a bicycle. Maybe you don't ride every day, but you know, a few days a year, wow, I'm really glad I know how to ride a bicycle. Well, when somebody that you love is suffering and they have tremendous pain or a fever or whatever the condition is, and you can do something yourself. How many movies have we seen where the person's in the hospital visiting their loved one and something terrible is happening and they say, nurse, come in here quickly. And I'm yelling at the screen, put your hands on them. You know, do the basic breathing and sweeping and give them some energy and call the nurse. So there's so much that we can do ourselves. And I've had, you know, we've done clinical studies with Quantum Touch. We just have one that's being published at this time, peer-reviewed study, where we had 41 people in the study with 50 high-level pain conditions, and most of the people were suffering from various forms of arthritis, from fibromyalgia, or from accidents, and they all had high levels of pain. A single Quantum Touch session provided them with a 67.3% reduction in their pain. That's better than two-thirds. And there's no side effects. Once you learn it, there's no cost whatsoever. You have it with you all the time. You don't have to carry any special equipment. And I just think it's one of those essential human skills that's been overlooked, lost, or forgotten in our culture. But I am committed that in this lifetime, we're going to get enough research, enough visibility, so that this stuff will eventually, maybe in the next 30 years, be researched at most of the universities around the world, because this is a breakthrough that allows ordinary people to do extraordinary things really fast.
Wow. You know, it just brings up a few questions and points to comment on. Number one, I'm dealing with a rotator cuff injury, just natural wear and tear of being an athlete all my life. And have you guys had much success with injuries of those types?
Well, you know, every person is different. And so, you know, we're actually putting together, you know, a couple thousand stories we've received over the years and doing some light editing and just cleaning them up and putting them into a free ebook that'll eventually be put out there. And yes, we've had all kinds of injuries responding, but it depends how deep the tear is, it depends how well your body is, it depends on a lot of other factors. And sometimes there's emotional components in these things. And I developed a whole other modality called self-created health to teach people how to find and release the emotional component. So if the energy healing doesn't work, which is going to be about 8 or 10% of the time, that it won't get lasting results, then we go in and look for the emotional side of it. And I'm also a big believer in nutrition and even something like prednisone therapy for a badly torn rotator cuff, which I had once, and it was beyond quantum touch at that point. And I had prednisone, and it just repaired it really quickly, and I had no surgery and no scarring and nothing.
Prednisone, I'll have to write that down right now.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what
definitely
that is.
Definitely check that one out.
Well, okay.
You will find out, won't you?
I will. And another, you know, what else came forward for me was just, again, back to you talked about how maybe 3 to 5 days, all of us can use, you know, just to have some skill set in hands-on healing and quantum touch is going to be, you know, great probably for us. And it just struck me that, hey, we can all benefit tremendously from learning the law of resonance experientially with ourselves to a greater degree, no matter what, even if we're not necessarily around, you know, that example you gave of a relative going through some pain. Maybe it's just emotional pain of a relative, and learning to just by practicing quantum touch, by bringing that to the other dimension of maybe the emotional pain and learning to be the cure, you know, to reside in that consciousness of the cure for that person, which is what I hear you saying with quantum touch.
Absolutely. We are all each other's angels in some way of thinking. We can care about each other and have an impact. And people tend to forget how much power their love has. They tend to think, well, my love isn't good enough and has no impact. It has tremendous impact. It's incredibly valuable. And this is another avenue to express love from one person to another in a very tangible way that's not very threatening. Because if somebody puts their hands on your shoulders and sends energy through, you're going to feel it. I even played with things like running energy into a singer's throat and just totally improving their voice. I've done that many, many times now. There's so many applications in so many arenas, but all this led to what I'll describe as new human abilities, and then that led to my newest book that just came out a couple months ago called The Secret Nature of Matter, where I was able to understand, not really understand, but discern how an intersection of matter and mind, and be able to put consciousness into physical objects that would have a dramatic invisible physical effect on people if they were touched by that object. This is a landmark. And I ran 57 experiments that are documented. I kept a journal because I realized I'm onto something, and journaled them all up. And every one of these experiments are things that people can try themselves. And I've had a lot of people being able to replicate the experiments in my book already. So it's very gratifying.
I'll bet you have a lot of other things you can share with us, with me, about your discoveries with the mind-body connection over the years.
Oh, my God. Well, when I first discovered the level 2 quantum touch work, it happened in a cafe. I was having dinner with some friends, and my friend Brian said, hey, show Misha how you can align her hips with a light touch. So she stands up, and I'm measuring her hips, and I'm just about to put my hands back on to touch her hips so I can get them to roll back into alignment. And Brian says one short sentence. He says, I bet you can do that without touching. I said, really? He said, yeah, try it. Within a few seconds, she was aligned. I knew how to do it, but I didn't know that I knew. I just knew how to do it. And then I did a little backward engineering, figured out exactly what I was doing, and taught other people, and they were successful. Then the thought occurred to me, if I can do this, what else is possible? And I brainstormed, and I came up with, I don't know, about 7 different new human abilities, like the ability to work on multiple parts of the body simultaneously, the ability to work on multiple people simultaneously, the ability to join people together in my mind, the ability to, this was a big one. I discovered that we can actually share our gifts with each other. You think your gift is your own private thing? Oh, I'm really gifted at this or that. Well, you can actually share it. And I had a vivid experience of that one day. I was visiting with a friend, Carolyn, and she told me, she said, you know, I always got straight A's in school. I never really had to study. It was always so easy for me. And I said, well, that's weird because I always had to study really hard just to get B's and maybe some A's occasionally. And I said, well, listen, she said she had a perfect memory. And I said, okay, why don't you share the memory with me? And I gave her a technique that I made up on the spot. And I have to admit, it wasn't a very good technique, but it was the best I could come up with in the moment. And she did the exercise that I gave her, and I didn't notice anything, if I'm going to be honest with you, nothing at all. But as I was in bed getting ready to go to sleep, I just let my mind drift, and all of a sudden I thought of a friend that I hadn't seen in years, and then the person's face, his face was right there in front of me, clear as could be, with the name spelled underneath in gold letters. Well, that's really weird. But the gold letters weren't moving like they do in a visualization. They were absolutely still, as if I was looking at a glowing poster on the wall. Big letters. And then I thought of another friend. And right in front of me, the person's face. Her face was right there with the name spelled in gold letters. And a third friend. And then after that happened, I thought, oh, that's really interesting. But I started feeling all this fear in my body. Like, what's all this fear about? Took me about 20 or 30 minutes to fall asleep with that much fear. And I finally did. When I contacted Carolyn, I asked her, I said, when you think of your friends, do you suddenly see their face right in front of you with their name spelled in gold letters? Her jaw dropped and she said, how did you know? And I said, do you carry a lot of fear in your body? Because, oh, you have no idea how much fear I have. I think I do have an idea. Terribly afraid all the time. So it showed me that we could actually share the gifts, but realize that if you were to dip the ladle into the gift pool of Mozart, you'd also be pulling up immaturity. And if you dived into if you went into Einstein, you'd get his genius, but you'd also get, you know, the alienation and the loneliness. So what you want to do is you want to figure out a way to separate the personality and the blockages and the limitations from the actual gift itself. So I came up with a whole technique that does that. And that's also taught in the Level 2 Quantum Touch classes, and it's in my book, Quantum Touch 2.0, The New Human. Well, way back in the book, I think it was like chapter 17, I threw in a chapter I called Visible Magic. It was one of my favorite chapters in the book. And what I mean by visible magic is something that's of great interest to me, but not of great interest to most people. And that is, I know that the hips can be torqued or twisted, and the cranial bones, the base of the back of the head, the occiput, can be twisted also, so that one, if you lift up with your thumbs on the base of the bone, you might see one thumb half an inch or 3/8 of an inch higher than the other thumb, which is a lot considering how close the thumbs are to each other. And you can actually get them to align. And what I call visible magic was a technique that I learned from one of my students who gave me an insight. And by using this insight, I was able to cause the hips and the occiput to spontaneously align in a few seconds. And to anybody who's got any knowledge at measuring people, it looks like magic. In fact, I was at this place called the Magic Castle in LA where magicians love to come and see other magicians. And I said to these two guys, hey, you want to see a magic trick? And they say, sure. And I had them measure each other, and both of them had a major pelvic torsion or twist, and I just meditated, and they both got untwisted, and they measured each other, and you know what they did? They reached in their wallets and each gave me $5. They said, this is the first time we've ever seen a real magic trick. said, you weren't using any deception or sleight of hand. There was no manipulation. I said, no, it's just a technique that I can teach people. I go, my God, that's the first magic trick I've ever seen. And they handed me money. I was like, wow, thank you. It was very nice of them. They didn't have to, but anyway, it looks like magic from the outside. So, on a year ago Thanksgiving, I was having dinner with my friends, and one of the people who had studied my work was the host. And he said to me something that changed my life. He said, Richard, I discovered that if you make a movie of yourself doing a healing session, people watching the movie can experience healing. And I said, no way, that doesn't make any sense. He said, test it. Well, how am I going to test that? Yeah, I mean, really, somebody says they have a headache. You know, it can go away for any number of reasons, not the least of which is suggestion. So I came up with a really simple test. No one has the ability to untwist their hips or their cranial bones while they're standing still. It just never happens. And you get an absolute yes or no answer. The light switch is pointing up or it's pointing down. There's no ambiguity. The golf ball's either on the green or it's in the hole. There's nothing in between. It's one or the other. So when I measure people, and I tried these experiments, it worked. So my first experiment was I did a selfie movie of myself running energy, and when I showed it to people, it caused them to untwist. Then I tried making a screenshot of the movie, and that worked. And then I put that screenshot into Photoshop, reduced it by 90%, took out the color, and printed it on my printer, and that worked. Uh-oh. Wow. Then one of the big discoveries happened. There's more coming. I played golf that morning. I was wearing the same sweater I played when I played golf, and I reached into my pocket, and there was a golf tee in my pocket. So I ran energy into the golf tee as if I was doing that work on somebody, and when I'd hand people the golf tee, it caused their body to untwist. Then I started doing experimentation. It worked on wood. What about plastic, rubber, metal, paper, pebbles, every kind of object I could find? All matter seemed equally capable of holding energy and intention, and they all worked. I diluted water over a trillion fold, which is not very hard to do. Just take a few drops from one bottle, put it to the next, and the next, and the next. And it still worked. It still worked. And long down the line, I came across an experiment that just threw me for a loop. What happened was, I'd been doing experiments on how can you erase the information and how far does the information spread. I'm just trying to get a picture of what's actually going on here. And I found out it's almost impossible to erase the information. What you do is, I tried running energy, I tried using sage, I buried it, I used salt, put it in salt water.
Richard, when you say information, can you clarify again what you mean by that? When you're saying clearing the information?
Certainly. Yeah. So, for instance, if I put in the information and the energy intention of aligning a person's hips, that's all I was really working on. Mm-hmm. The hips and the occiput. I abbreviate it to SPA, spontaneous postural alignment. So I put in SPA, spontaneous postural alignment, energy information into the physical objects. And then I thought, what'll it take to erase it? So I put like a penny in the oven for 40 minutes at high temperature. Did nothing. I boiled water for 10 minutes and then let it cool down. It still worked. What does tend to erase it is when something changes state. So, for instance, when the water evaporated on the lid of the pot and I tested that water, it no longer had the information. If I burn paper, it doesn't have the information on it anymore. But using sage and all the other techniques does nothing, I found, to erase the program that you put into these physical objects. Mm. one of the early discoveries is that all matter seems to be equally capable of holding that information. So I conclude that since panpsychism appears to be what we're looking at, that everything has consciousness, and I would speculate that all matter is made of what I call, this very technical term, subatomic God stuff. It's all made of infinite intelligence, and that's why everything is capable of holding energy information. But the big shock was when I discovered something that I would later come to call conscious entanglement.
And I think this might be the segue into what I'm thinking right now, which is naturally where I'm going is, okay, so if you found it very difficult to cancel, delete, erase programming, albeit the programming you were imprinting with your intentionality was, let's say, a positive, you know, a return to a more optimal health and wellness state of the spine, of the hips, whatnot.
Right.
So I, of course, not maybe not of course, but I'm going to the other side of what about the limitation programming that we imprint upon ourselves or get imprinted upon our own subconscious? Is that, you know, equally as difficult to upgrade, eliminate, cancel, shift? And that's maybe where you were headed.
Well, not really, but it's a good question. That is a really interesting point of view. But when you consider that none of these programs are determinant on where you go in your life or what you do or think, feel, say, or act, these are choices that we make from moment to moment. And so, yes, you will never erase when your dad slapped you around or your mother, you thought your mother abandoned you or whatever happened in your story. You'll never erase that. It's always there. But it doesn't have to have any influence anymore on what's going to happen in the future, because the love is thousands of times stronger than the suffering. The love is so much deeper. The joy, the gratitude is virtually infinite in scale, but the pain is limited. So I like to say that our pain goes deeper than we want to know, but our love goes deeper than we can know. And so when there's an old program, emotionally, you need to process it out and then create a new script and live inside that new script. But it doesn't have to have any power or influence. But yes, you can. There's no erasing button and say that, you know, the past wasn't there. It's just that you don't have to be in that vibration. You don't have to be influenced by that. But what I called conscious entanglement is a completely different beast.
Do tell.
Okay. Well, I was doing an experiment to see how far the information spread when I put energy into an object. And the easiest objects to get hold of were coins. So I used pennies in this case. And I met a woman whose hips were very twisted. I had her turn her back to her table. And I put 15 pennies down on the table in a straight line, about 3 to 4 inches apart from one another. And then I had her back because I didn't want her looking at what I was doing because that would influence the experiment. And then I meditated on the penny that was right directly behind her. And I just gave it, you know, 5 or 6 seconds of giving it the information to untwist her hips. And then I measured her, and she was still misaligned, which is what I was hoping. I didn't want to affect her that way at that point. Then I reached way down on the table, about 3.5, 4 feet away, and I picked up penny number 15. And I handed it to her, and much to my dismay, she was aligned instantly. And I got pretty upset because, no, I'm trying to find out why, you know, what the parameters are. And I only meditated on penny number 1, yet penny 15 was functioning as if it was charged. So I came up with a new my first idea was maybe the energy is spreading like, you know, fire moves through, you know, gasoline or something. And then I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense, because if that's true, then the table would be charged, the floor, the walls, everybody in the coffee shop, and for that matter, everybody on the planet Well, that didn't happen. So therefore, I had to come up with a new theory. And my new theory is what I call conscious entanglement. And that means that if you join objects together in your mind, anything you do to one of the objects could theoretically happen to all the objects. In other words, if I had 10 pennies in my hand and I joined them all together in my consciousness and hand 9 of them to other people and run energy into the one in my hand, all the people holding that penny would suddenly become aligned at the same time. And I tested it, and it worked repeatedly with other people testing it, every variation you can think of. You can actually entangle objects. So I created a pendant. I don't know if you've seen this, but we've got this really attractive-looking pendant. And I sent out one as a gift to my top 50 instructors around the world and told them this was a gift, and I want them to put their best healing energy into it. And before we knew it, we had sold out all 1,000 of them because the instructors told their students about it and everybody wanted to have one. And since then, we've sold over 4,000 of them now. And we have people putting their best energy in every day or a few days. So the darn thing becomes more powerful almost every day, or maybe every day, because other people are using it. And we're hearing crazy good stories. But the first time I saw it working powerfully, I mean, just beyond anything I could have imagined, I was in Cancun, Mexico at a retreat. And I didn't know how powerful these things were as healing devices. And this guy, it's like 1 in the morning, the last party on the last night, he tells me he hasn't been able to breathe through his right sinus since he was a teenager. He used to get into fights. So I hand him 2 pendants, and he holds them on both sides of his nose. Within 4 or 5 minutes, he can breathe through his right sinus. And a couple of women were watching this, and they both had TMJ pain, and their pain went away. And another woman had pain under her eyes, and her pain went away. And I'm going, oh, my God, what is this thing? But it's a group talisman, and it gets stronger all the time because everybody, when they get it, is asked to put their deepest love, gratitude, best of the best they have for themselves, or anybody in the world, their love of their child, whatever it is that really gets you feeling good. And now people are beginning to put their gifts, their special talents, their abilities, their skills, their peak experiences into their pendant. And if you want to tap in on it, you just say, what's the energy and essence of this gift or experience? And somebody's put it in there, and we're making a long list now, too, of these gifts and things that people are putting into their pendants. So this is opening up a whole new technology.
So let me see if I got this right. This is super exciting, and I love it. And I'm already totally bought into it because I'm so aware of the power of power that we all have, our own sorcery, mm-hmm. so to speak, and intentionality. So if I've got this right, your collective intention that started with you, and then now it's a collective intention with all, with a lot of your top healers and a lot of other and people that also get dependent, is that they're energizing all that love and gratitude and healing, limitless potential into the pendant, not only for the pendants that have yet to be available to be acquired by people to be sold, but to all the ones that have already been sold since the first one. So it's
And
it's, is that
all,
right?
All future pendants too. Yes, you're
and
exactly
all
correct.
Pendants
and
too.
All
right.
Yes, because
right, right.
I linked them up with all generations.
Uh-huh.
So it's the only group talisman I'm aware of where it's, you see, everybody's love is like a little bouquet of flowers and everybody has this beautiful bouquet, but they're all different. But what happens when you take thousands of people's bouquets and put them together in one place? And it becomes exponential.
Right. And that, you know, and that's exactly one of my big intentions for SoulSpeak is that we are coming together as a collective consciousness, manifesting and co-creating this third energy field that acts like a current, acts like this beautiful current that carries us forward into our a more awakened state of our limitless self and all the bounty that comes with that, all the beauty and bounty that comes with that and grace. And it's from my intention, and of course I'm enrolling all of you right now to join me in that intention, that's exactly what you're speaking of, and that you're talking about not this really this right now specifically this physical talisman, this pendant, and I so buy into that and love that, and I'm going to go get one.
Well, fantastic. And you know, we also came up with something recently too. We call the energy portals, and some people like taping them on, you know, taping a pendant on their foot when they go to sleep at night on the bottom of their foot, or putting one on the client's body in places where they need healing. And we realized that's kind of fun. So what we did was we created these brass discs, just a tiny bit smaller than a quarter, that you can tape on yourself. And we sell them in groups of seven. And they're all charged like the pendants. And so people could make necklaces out of them or just lay them on themselves or tape them to themselves or other people and be receiving some of the benefit.
Mm. Nice.
It was really fun. It was really funny at that retreat because Michael Beckwith was there, and the guy who started Agape Church, and
sure.
I touched him with my pendant, and he goes, "Oh my God, I felt my whole face change, my cranium moved, my hips moved." He could feel everything. He was incredibly kinesthetic. Then he actually watched me do it to a couple of his friends, and he watched them move, and he got so excited. And that evening, we had a beach party, and he comes to get me, and he holds my hand, and he's walking me across the beach, and he says, "Richard, I've got 20 people. I want you to touch them with your pendant." And I said, "Michael, I'm not going to do that." And he says, "Well, why not?" I said, "Well, because I want you to touch them with my pendant." And he says, "Okay, what are the instructions?" I said, "Well, you got to hold the pendant in your hand, and then you have to touch them with it." And he cracks up. He says, "That's it?" "Yeah, that's it," because we already had the intention of causing the alignment. That's the third step, is you got to hold it, touch them, and have some intention. And I knew we had that, so you don't have to doubt your intention. You just do it for that purpose, and that's what it is. And it works. So what I feel like I'm doing is I'm opening the door to understand the mind is not confined to the brain, that love is not a physical thing. It's not an epiphenomenon of brain activity. It's who and what we really are, disguised in these meat bodies that we so closely identify with. But we're actually these spiritual beings inhabiting this meat suit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all great. I'm smiling because you're ear to ear. I would love to talk more with you on the show, and I just noticed that we are at the 40-minute mark and are going to need to wrap things up here. But thank you so much, first of all, for all that you shared and for being on the show. It's really been a pleasure to have you. Love your energy. Why don't we talk a little bit about the free gifts? It's not one but two that you folks are offering from Quantum Touch. The book excerpt and audio download as well. So why don't you go ahead and share a little bit about that so people that can, they click on Claim Your Free Gift, they'll be taken to that link.
Yeah. The book excerpt will give you a taste of what my new book is about, and it's a pretty good taste and get you excited about what we're discovering because this changes human identity. My friend wrote that it's like Galileo without the need of a telescope, that anybody could have figured it out, but like the wheel, it's not obvious until you see it done. And in terms of the audio, it's a way to start running some energy and start getting your energy healing work, get started a little bit. So it's a good introduction.
Nice. Awesome. And what do you folks have coming up over there next people that want to dive in and learn more?
Well, the quantumtouch.com website is a really good resource because you can be in touch with the entire community, get on a mailing list and learn all the news that's happening. We've got instructors and practitioners all around the world. We've got workshops all over the place. Like practitioners in over 50 countries. So wherever you are, you can find resources. The books are a great way to start learning, but better than that, we have a video that teaches people the basic quantum touch. You can watch it in a group of friends. We've got live workshops around the world and so much more. And a great newsletter that we're putting out about every week now. So there's just incredible stuff going on that, like I say, redefines what it means to be a human being. We are so much more unlimited than we had suspected.
Awesome. Okay, folks, so claim your free gift button. You just click on that. That'll take you over to those two free gifts. Thank you so much, everybody in the community, for joining me in my intention that I shared with you. We're all in this together. Let's support each other. And I appreciate you so much for your support, and I appreciate you allowing me to support you as well in our journey. Richard, thank you for being a part of that as well. You're a part of that, my friend. You're enrolled. You're part of the SoulSpeak group and family now. And
blessings
to everything you're doing. Absolutely. You bet. And look forward to having you back.
Okay. Well, have a great day.
Any last words for our audience? Let you take us out here at the end of the session.
Just that your love is more powerful than you know, and that it has value and tremendous impact.